This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Laura, you've probably heard me talk all the time about my love for Sheets and Giggles. I've been sleeping on their new sustainable eucalyptus sheets for the past 8 months straight. I recommend them 1000%. Every week I wash them and put them back on the bed right away. They're my go-to sheets. All of my other sheets, even the ethical ones, are taking a long break.
After hearing you rave about them for so long, Lisa, I finally got a chance to try their new eucalyptus comforter. So I'm a weirdo. I really like having a comforter on my bed all the time, even when we have the heat blasting. I haven't woken up once hot while I was using this one from Sheets and Giggles. It's a great ethical and sustainable alternative to the down comforter we used to use that's now sitting on our guest bed. Another thing I love about Sheets and Giggles is that they don't use plastic packaging and the materials don't use pesticides, so they're kind to our animal and insect friends.
They also plant a tree for each sheet set that is sold, and they're passionate about giving back. They give 10% off to customers who donate their old sheets to homeless shelters, and they have donated over $40,000 to Colorado COVID relief.
Good Together listeners get 15% off by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at sheetsgiggles.com. New year, new you, right? Probably not. So with the dawning of a new year, we are all still the same people, right? But that doesn't mean we can't make difference together by using our New Year's resolutions to help set sustainability-related goals in our everyday lives. In today's episode, Lisa and I chat about eco-friendly goals we made last year in 2020, like recycling more and reducing food waste. We also check in to see how that went in our lives. And Lisa and I are super open about where we can improve and what we want to change in this year. We also share goals from our community, and we talk about how to actually make these eco-friendly changes actually happen and stay in your lives for years to come. So let's get into it. Hey there, how's it going?
Good, much better than last year, I should say.
Yes, it's a new year, new you, as they say, which is kind of ridiculous, but it is a new year.
Yeah, and new you is what we are talking about today, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we all have this like yearning and, you know, we really want to have a great start to the new year. And we kind of take a look back at what we did over the previous year. And maybe there's like some goals that we want to accomplish in our lives. And what better way to think about resetting habits than thinking about how we can live sustainably? Like, I'm so excited to chat about this.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, again, why this episode, who was this episode inspired by is, of course, our community, right? A couple of weeks ago, we had a fun challenge for our Scouts ambassadors, and we asked them to share their kind of New Year eco resolutions. Let's start thinking what you want to do in 2021. And they shared a lot of fun things that they want to personally accomplish. And of course, we'll share them with you as well at the end of the episode. And of course, you know, new year, new you, we all kind of start thinking thinking about these resolutions, these changes that we want to implement in our lifestyles and our lives in the beginning of the year. Of course, I feel like you know, you can do it any time of the year. You know, I certainly did a lot of things differently when COVID started, right? But yeah, hopefully this episode will be relevant whether you're in the beginning of the year or if you even if you're listening to that episode, you know, in the middle of 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the perfect time to take a reset and figure out what you want to change in your life. Obviously, because of COVID-19, like, our lives are not looking like they used to. We're hoping that we'll get back to normal sometime later this year. But even still, I think it's really important to think about your old routines, think about new routines you want to start. And, you know, let's kind of maybe set the stage for why this is important, right? Mm-hmm. So first off, most people, and when I say most people, I mean billions and billions of people, want to make a New Year's resolution, right? They want to start a new habit, change an old habit. They might want to learn something new. And 75% of Americans say that they are going to make a resolution, which that kind of surprised me. I don't know. What did you think, Lisa? I feel like I didn't think that many people would do it, but I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, no, the number does sound very realistic to me. The problem is that, you know, we say we will do it, right? So,
yeah.
You know, there are so many different steps from going from, oh, I think maybe I'll think about it. I say I will do it, and then actually doing that. But yeah, I know you have another number that is even more realistic.
Yeah, I mean, so less than 8% actually stick with their New Year's resolution by the end of the year. Like that is like, that's awful.
You know how I know this kind of, I kind of had an idea about this stat is, of course, we've talked about it today from The Office. Remember their episode mm-hmm. about New Year resolutions and basically how Pam gives up on that, like by the end of the episode, because it just goes terribly wrong in The Office.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, we were just talking about The Office because sidebar, Netflix just took The Office off, which Lisa and I are giant Office fans. So yep. This is really upsetting. We're going to have to find new shows to watch. Hello, Bridgerton. I know Lisa yep. and I both binged mm-hmm. this show. It's very good.
It's very but, different from The Office, I have to say.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So definitely check out Bridgerton. Make sure you are watching without children in the room. It's a bit crazy. But anyway, when we think about not being able to fulfill your New Year's resolution, like maybe your New Year's resolution is to watch less Netflix.
Yeah.
Most of the time, people aren't able to do that. I mean, there's a variety of reasons, but mostly people will say it's because they kind of ran out of steam, right? They really wanted to, you know, do the right thing, but they just got lazy. They, you know, they didn't really care as much anymore. And when we think about the impact that taking a New Year's resolution to a sustainable level can have on the world, it can be really, really important. So that's why we wanted to make this episode sort of related to sustainability, related goals that you can actually do yourself, because it's a big deal. And choosing to, pick a resolution that has an impact on the world that's greater than just your own little bubble can be one way that can, you know, potentially help you kind of follow through, right?
Exactly. And this is why, you know, in the Brightly app, and I keep mentioning this, you know, we have that quiz, your sustainability superpower. That's why we are also asking on the Brightly app, you know, what is your one goal, right? I mean, feel free to choose to make 5 resolutions or goals for yourself, but it's much more realistic, right? And easier for yourself to, you know, maybe stick to 1 or 2 goals and also don't make them huge. Like, for example, me personally, let's maybe talk about that. You know, I want to cut my red meat consumption. Even I think we've mentioned that in a previous episode, I want to cut it down to, I think, to 2 times per week to eat red meat, right? I'm not counting chicken. So that's kind of seems at least reasonable, potentially doable to me. It's not going to happen overnight for sure. I already tried doing that. It still hasn't happened. But it's more realistic than, you know, doing like a meatless month right away, you know, just so I think that's why resolutions, realistic steps, and a community that kind of helps you and like shares this journey with you, maybe that helps a lot.
Well, and if you think about it even a slightly different way, which is we talk so much on this podcast and at Brightly about just sustainable swaps you can do every yep. day. So it's almost like we're inspiring you to do these sort of New Year's resolutions every single day. So that's exactly. also why.
Exactly. You
know, it's just such a fun thing. But so let's kind of continue to talk about maybe the impact.
Numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the numbers, right? Because that's how we like to start these episodes, as you guys know. So, you know, making sustainable habits is so important for the planet. Lisa, do you want to talk about the meatless one? Just because yes. you just yeah. got us started on that topic.
Yeah. So we've shared this number, some of the stats before, you know, you've probably seen it in some of Brightly's articles on our Instagram posts. But one of the most simple numbers we found is that it takes approximately 1,700 gallons of water to produce just a single pound of beef. Imagine that. And then
that's crazy.
Yeah. So only 39 pounds of water is needed to produce a pound of vegetables. So 1,700 versus 39.
I was going to ask you about that because people think about, you know, vegetables requiring a lot of water because they're plants, but it's like, well, you know, mammals require a lot of water as well.
So, yeah. So if we look, also there's a lot of other considerations for the environment, right? Like we're reducing greenhouse gases, our overall carbon footprint. Of course, we're preserving and saving animals' lives. Whatever is the most important number for you, that will get you there. But another interesting thing, why we're always talking about small steps and kind of being realistic and what's reasonable for you and your family. The number I wanted to share is that it's in Reader's Digest. I found that here. It's 8% of the world's population is actually vegetarian, vegan, and 92% are omnivores, like just like me and you, Laura. So,
yep.
you know, the biggest impact will be achieved by the 92%, right? Not the 8%.
Exactly. Yep. Makes total sense. I love
it. Yeah. So yeah, what is the other example that we had in terms of like other sustainable swaps or resolutions that we can do, and what kind of impact it can have?
Yeah, so the other one we wanted to talk about, and Lisa and I are going to talk about our own sustainability related New Year's resolutions in a second, but this one ties to one of mine, which is recycling.
Yeah.
So I, along with Lisa, along with you, because I know that you do this, listener, a lot of us are wish cyclers, right? Like we, you know, think that we know what we're doing when we go to throw something in the recycling bin, but as it turns out, oftentimes we don't. And so one of our goals, like at Brightly this year, also from a content perspective, is going to be showcasing more content around recycling, because it's just kind of mind-boggling how we are getting it wrong in some instances. But even with all of the wish cycling and sort of wrong recycling that goes on, recycling in general is still critical to reducing the amount of waste that goes into landfills. So according to the EPA, the US EPA, recycling, and they also include composting mm-hmm. in this statistic, diverted 82 million tons of materials away from landfills and incinerators in 2006. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine that has multiplied since then, just because of the way the world's going. In that 2006 number, this equated to around 30% of the waste that Americans were recycling, that Americans were generating was recycled, which is great. Right? I mean, it's a great thing. Oh, go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, this is taken into account. Yes, it's back in 2006. But again, even today, by far, not all Americans are recycling, right? We always talk mm-hmm. about different local recycling rules that differ by state and city and county. Yes, some states and counties, they don't recycle at all. So like the potential of kind of bigger part of population of the US recycling is really huge. So yeah,
exactly.
It's definitely, I'm like, I don't even think that I know. I always know I'm a wish cycler. And again, one of my personal goals for the podcast is to really bring something onto the podcast to talk to us about recycling. And I really want us to dig also into like policies around recycling, right? And how we can force businesses to really make recycling labels easy for consumers to understand. For me, this is the most impactful thing I think we can do with recycling. But anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. So before we get into what we want to improve on and do this year, we thought it would be really interesting for you guys to hear some habits that Lisa and I changed up last year and think about like which ones we feel like made the biggest difference both in our lives and for the planet. So I'll get us started. This is one of my favorite ones, which was I set a goal for myself to use up what I already had. And like, if you could see me, you'd be doing snaps for myself because I really think that this is such a sort of a sleeper sustainability habit. You know, a lot of times people feel like, you know, they're going to go eco. They got to chuck everything out and go, you know, buy all this new stuff.
Yep.
And so that leads to, you know, wasteful spending. It leads to a lot of people feeling like they can't afford to be eco-friendly and that it's just it's completely wrong. So we just want to say like, no, do not feel like you have to do that. What you can do and what you should do is use up what you already have. So if you make a lot of leftovers, like we've dedicated whole podcasts to this and articles, like use up your leftovers. Actually, Netflix, on that topic, there's a new, I really want to be a contestant, please Netflix God, but there's this new show that lets you, that there's like, they pick three people to craft brand new meals out of leftovers. So oh, wow. They like literally just premiered it. I think it's called, it's something to do with leftovers. I don't even know what the name of it is. So yes, please, would love to be on that show. But anyway, use up your leftovers, use up shampoo and conditioner. Like, you know, we all have these bottles of beauty products.
Oh my God, you won't believe. Yeah, you won't believe how much you have. I never would have thought that I actually, this shampoo hoarder, but I actually have, you know, the huge Tresemme bottles.
Yes. Oh, I hate those.
I know, but I'm like, I have to use them and it will probably take me like a year to use it. So
yep,
saving money right here.
Yep. Use them up. So that to me, I think my husband and I both got better at that. We still have a lot of room to improve. You know, I know it's very tempting for people right now to like stock up and hoard stuff right now during COVID because it is hard to get to the store. So by all means, if you need to do that, please do it. But don't forget to use up the stuff that you buy instead of like, please don't be a doomsday prepper. I can't with that. I feel like most of the people that do that don't necessarily, I mean, the people who are really into it, I've heard, do have a system where they kind of eat through the stuff so that it doesn't go bad. But if you want to be a doomsday prepper, maybe just please do that.
Durham, another office mention. Remember when Dwight, that day when Dwight is eating like literally entire like canned food supply that he had for like the next
day. Right. There you go.
Yep. Take example from The Office. Just watch The Office however you can these days.
There you go. All right, Lisa, what's something that you kind of reflected back on?
So yeah, as I think I've mentioned it on like every other episode of the podcast, we've been cooking a lot, we've been eating a lot, homemade food, which is great, right? And one of the episodes that we actually did in the early days of COVID was about reducing your food waste. I was, you know, really floored by the numbers of food waste around the world. If you guys don't know yet, the United Nations World Food Program actually has won the Nobel Peace Prize of 2020. And, you know, one area of expertise for them, their programs is actually obviously world hunger, right? But it goes hand in hand with the issue of food waste, right? They're, you know, if we could reduce all of the food waste, so not even all, there are specific numbers we've shared before again in our articles, even part of our food waste, we'll be able to feed the entire world's population, you know? So this is really heartbreaking. So this is kind of why this kind of data stuck with me and I've started focusing on food waste, reducing food waste. So I've been trying to do that again. By far not perfect. Always like feel heartbroken when I see, you know, food that I had to throw away. But yeah, meal planning has been pretty helpful for me for my food waste reduction. And again, freezer is your friend. I remember Sophie, our guest, said that like just yesterday, I actually used my frozen mushrooms. And I never froze mushrooms for some weird reason before. You know, I always be like, I'm like indecisive. If I'm like, I'm going to make it next day. And then they go bad. No. Like if you're not sure how you're going to, if you don't have a plan, right, how you're going to use it and it's been a couple of days, just put it in the freezer. Freezer is your friend. So that's been really kind of helpful for me. And same one, vegetarian recipes, reducing my meat consumption as much as I can, again, by meal planning. Because if you're not used to cooking without meat on a normal, if it's not your habit, right, it's not something you've grown up with, you really need to plan ahead to be able to just throw together a full vegetarian dish. So that has been super helpful. And of course, we have a ton of resources for our community for this as well. We will link to it, right? We have a whole recipe database, which is mostly vegetarian and vegan recipe. I believe there's over 300 of them. So again, community using tried and true recipes and planning ahead. That has been super helpful for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, one other one that I'll share, which is, you know, related, all of these are related to each other, right? But for me, when we think about eating out and, you know, takeout, one thing that I've really been focused on from a sustainability related goal is reducing my amount of single use plastic. And that's one of these things where once you start thinking about it, it's really hard to stop thinking about it. And you know, one tip that I have for like making your resolution stick, which we'll talk more about in a second, but one thing is just for me, attack it just like I do anything else, which is from a curiosity standpoint. So rather than, you know, going to get takeout and beating myself up because there's, you know, they give it to me in a plastic container, I might think, okay, how could I, you know, potentially not get this takeout? So is there any way that like, I can, there's sometimes you've got outdoor dining around. So like my husband and I will like suffer through like cold outdoor dining right now, if possible, because we want to cut down on the, you know, on the single use. And then I just think a little bit more about, you know, other items in my house that we purchase that are consumables, like beauty products. And I think about these beautiful containers that they come in. But why, you know, you're like, why do we have to have this like fancy plastic pump in a moisturizer? Like that's really not necessary and it's plastic. So there's so many interesting things that you can kind of get yourself to change a habit by being curious about like why the habit exists and how you can kind of, you know, and happen from that, which is really interesting.
Yeah. So reducing single-use plastic is definitely something that, you know, we've been hearing so much from our communities. This is everyone's one of the top priorities, right? And as we like to remind people, you know, single-use plastic is only single-use if you use it once.
That's right.
Right. So what I actually do once we do a takeout, I actually try to reuse the pots, the bowls, and I kind of store, I use them as, you know, containers and jars around the house. So again, prolong their life for sure. And on my side, so minimizing shopping, which has been shopping in terms of like fashion, clothes and things like that has been much easier for me. And I definitely held out pretty strongly on this resolution for most of the year until, of course, holidays started, you know, and kind of I did, you know, and again, connected with this, I felt like my holiday shopping and like Black Friday, Cyber Monday shopping has been much, much more thoughtful. As I would keep mentioning, I mostly spent stuff on the kitchen supplies, since not even kitchen supplies, like kitchen investment pieces. And if I had to give gifts, first of all, I reused as much packaging as I could. I accumulated all of the online shopping boxes I got, send gifts in those packages. And then I send gifts, consumable gifts, not, you know, some random things that I don't know if my friends will use or not. That's kind of the key ones for me.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, a company with a punny name but a seriously sustainable mission to make better bedding for everyone. We started partnering with Sheets and Giggles earlier this year, and the positive reviews from our community keep coming in.
I've been on a hunt for sustainable bedding for a long time now, until Brightly actually recommended Sheets and Giggles. I would highly recommend. The material is great. I personally tend to get hot at night and my boyfriend tends to get cold. So it definitely serves as a happy medium. Highly recommend.
I also get hot at night, and I found that after sleeping with Sheets and Giggles moisture wicking sheets over the past few months, I can't remember the last time I woke up overheated.
I love my Sheets and Giggles sheets. They're my absolute favorite. not only because they're super duper soft, but they are sustainably and ethically made out of eucalyptus.
Yep, I love that our scout Ashley called out how soft the Sheets and Giggles sheets are. Plus, the eucalyptus that is in their 400 thread count sheets is grown without insecticides or pesticides. They also just launched a bunch of new colors, and I can't choose between navy, blue, and red. Help me!
Sheets and Giggles bedding is super lightweight and soft, and they really nail it on zero waste packaging.
We recommend Sheets and Giggles for the softest, most sustainable sleep out there. Good Together listeners get 15% off at checkout by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at sheetsgiggles.com. Okay, so now that we have shared things that we are proud of from this past year, let's talk about things that we wish we did differently and where we kind of had a fail.
A fail.
We can use the word fail from almost like a meme.
Hashtag fail. Too. Yep, exactly.
There we go.
Yeah, recycling is definitely one area.
Fail.
I feel so helpless, you know, every time I go to throw something into recycling. And again, we'll have episodes. We have already content. Like, I'm proud of myself that I know to rinse stuff before I throw something into recycling. But there is so much room for improvement. Another one is occasional impulse buys, right? Impulse buys are never great. Again, because I don't always plan in advance. You know, it can be food, it can be takeout, or like last minute gifts. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I have this friend and I actually don't have something for them, and you just end up getting something that they, again, may not never use. That's kind of...
Well, let's talk about this a little bit, because I feel like I know that you say in order to not do this as much, you want to plan ahead, and that's awesome. But of course, there are times where we can't plan ahead, and you know, the more that you can buy things that are consumable, like you, Lisa gave me some amazing, I'm a big truffle fan, so Lisa gave me some great truffle olive oil and salt for Christmas. And I feel like that's a great gift because it's consumable. And even let's say even that I didn't like truffle stuff, even though she knew that I did, I could also kind of re-gift that to someone, right?
Don't forget about re-gifting, right?
That's right. So the more generic you can, I mean, not generic, I guess that's the wrong word. I don't know. The consumables are really good. But the thing I want to kind of tap on with this one is, you know, if you do an impulse buy, that's okay. Like just maybe think about it. I'm mindful. And I'll jump in here too. Like I did do a few fast fashion purchases. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you that the ones that I made were for totally COVID friendly wardrobe, like more like sweatpant kind of things. And I have worn those things so much now because they're fast fashion. They're not holding up as well as I'd like. So, I mean, that's a given, but I have worn the heck out of them. So it's like, did I feel bad when I was buying them? A little bit, because I wanted to buy to do ethical fashion, but I also knew that what I was looking at in particular, I couldn't find. So just have these conversations with yourself. Don't beat yourself up about it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And again, if you're wearing your sweatpants as much as we wear them these days, that's almost becomes less of a fast fashion. It's not, maybe it's not slow fashion, but it's not that fast anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. So definitely nothing to, you know, feel so guilty about. And yeah, my main kind of also guilt inducing thing is I still buy some items in plastic packaging. If you guys have listened to our previous episodes, back in, I think, in early summer, I interviewed the founder of Zero, ZeroGrocery.com, Zuleika, and they do basically plastic-free groceries. Only the Bay Area, unfortunately, right now, right? But they're quickly growing, which is amazing. Yep. But, you know, once we go to Costco, we know how this stuff is packaged, right? Or even in, like, most stores, even in Whole Foods, it's, you know, my favorite arugula, right? Or like there's even some...
Yeah, it's in those clam shells. Yeah,
exactly. Not ideal. I haven't yet gone to bulk stores. I don't know for what part of the year bulk stores were open here in San Francisco. Again, not everyone even has access anywhere close to them for bulk stores, right? So yeah, this is one of the things that kind of bothers me. But again, I'm much more thoughtful about it. I'm seeing that. And you know, you do have options in the store to go for a glass packaging or like a paper bag, right? Instead of a plastic bag. Yeah. So that's kind of my top three.
Yeah. I mean, and it's unavoidable. I mean, if somebody tells you, I mean, I suppose if you live a very, very, very strict lifestyle, you could really eliminate your plastic waste. I mean, we've seen the people that fit their stuff in like mason jars and stuff, but most of us aren't going to do that. So being realistic about it, you're going to still buy some stuff in plastic packaging. You will be given stuff that's in plastic. Like there's just, you can't avoid it. So just maybe just be more mindful, like we're saying, and don't beat yourself up. Okay. So now that we've talked about some New Year's resolutions that you and I have and ones that we've done, I think it'd be really interesting to talk about how you make these habits stick. Yep. So I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I did a little bit of research into this, and surprisingly enough, a lot of the, I don't know, traditional advice that you get, like giving yourself a reward, using like motivational phrases, journaling, kind of all these things, they don't really work. I mean, then that makes sense because that statistic we shared at the very top of the show, about 8% of people only being able to keep their resolutions. Well, that would mean that none of this really works. So that is like the overall finding from the founders of a website called clearthinking.org. But what they did a big study and they analyzed all these different ways that people try to motivate themselves. And the most effective version that they found was there's something called habit analysis, or, you know, you can habit analyze, meaning they want you to picture in your head a goal or a new habit that you successfully saw through to completion. So it might not be a New Year's resolution. It probably isn't with that statistic, but think about in the past, like some kind of goal or habit that you did. So kind of picture that in your head and then think about how you personally were able to accomplish that. So
that's a great. This is, I feel it relates like almost 100% to me. Laura, you probably know, like once COVID hit, right? And I haven't been working out regularly for so long, and I really love yoga, you know me, and I've been doing it for years and years, but I really fell out of this habit. So once COVID hit, I kind of was like, you know what? I have to work out. Either I'm going to like roll down this hill when the lockdown is over, literally. And then I started taking classes. Because I also wanted to support my yoga studio, which was shut down. So started taking video classes. And we also did a few challenges with our scouts in terms of like workout challenges too. So that helped me a lot. But again, at some point later this year, I fell out of this. And now I'm like in this situation, like, dude, like you did stick. I was doing that for 4, maybe 5 months, like very, like 5 times a week. So like I was doing great. But now I'm like, how was I able to do that? I'm literally not able to make myself do it. So that this is a great tip to just think about when you actually succeeded at like to and stuck to a habit, right?
Yeah, because just because this study says that rewarding yourself doesn't work, maybe it worked for you.
Maybe it works for you.
It's possible. I mean, maybe you can, you know, talk yourself out of things mentally. I've learned that like guilt does not work with me. No. So it might like make me feel bad in the moment, but I've never found it to work to help me, you know, stop a habit. So like for me, guilt doesn't work. But if it's something potentially like, let's say I want to cut back on alcohol, you know, you can think about, and what I do is I think about, well, I feel like crap in the morning if I have, you know, that extra glass of wine before I go to bed. You know, and if I happen to do it in the morning and I feel like bad, I kind of think through, you know, hey, this isn't great. Like, let's think about like the physical impact that it's having on myself. Yeah. Right. So there's different ways that you can have success, but the bottom line is it's going to be very unique to you. So we'll talk about some other ways that we've you know, heard that you can help make your habit stick, but just like everything else, it's personal. And so let's think through it. Another way that I have found success in the past and one that they recommend is starting small, like we talk about all the time in this podcast. So if you want to run a marathon, which I do not, but if I did, instead of making myself go from the couch to the 5K, you know, that's like actually a training protocol.
That's funny.
Actually, couch to 5K is a good example because they have you start You know, with really, really tiny, you know, running, running exercises before you get up to that 5K. And that's why it's called that, because they're literally saying you might never run before in your life, but you can get there if you just break it down into tiny pieces. So break it down into tiny pieces, and then celebrate the small wins. You know, like, I am very guilty of focusing on these really big milestones in my life, whether it's personally or Brightly or whatever, and kind of forgetting to take a step back and celebrate the small ones. So make sure you do that.
Yeah, no, this are all great advice. And yeah, just starting small is otherwise, yeah, maybe there are some examples out there who, you know, went from the couch to 5K right away and that somehow worked, but I'm yet to hear this kind of success story. And of course, my favorite that I kind of alluded to earlier, another tip from us, use a community to hold you accountable, right? And to celebrate with you. I know it sounds actually, to me, I feel like before we had the Brightly community, it did sound to me like, what community? Like, do I have to bug? Remember, I gave you guys the 5-minute journal, you and Midori, for as a yep. New Year's gift. And I kind of stuck to it a little bit. But I'm like, I'm not going to be like bugging you. I was like, hey guys, are you writing today? So that's kind of, it's kind of weird, right? But with the Scouts community, with our Ambassadors community, it kind of happened very natural, right? Because we kind of all know what we're here for, right? We want to be planet champions. We want to, fight climate change. We want to support ethical brands. We want to support fair trade and all of this other good stuff. So that's kind of very natural, right? We're just talking about things we are passionate about, right? We're like, oh, I made my first vegetarian recipe. I heard it so many times this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's natural for us. Yay, awesome. Is this good? Give me a recipe and things like that. Or people giving each other product recommendations and kind of sharing step by steps. Here's how I decluttered my wardrobe, for example. So community has really been really meaningful for us. You know, like, it has been great for us, Laura, just to have this podcast, right? To have this conversation. That was a great start. But I feel like once we added the community layer, that's when these habits kind of started sticking with me, because we're always talking about this. We're always sharing ideas. And of course, just even the workout stuff, we did wellness challenges. We did again, workout challenges. And it might seem funny, it's like me sharing picture with, our community. Like, here I just did my yoga, but it actually does have some weird special effect, right, on you.
Yeah, I mean, in general, having people to just chat about this with is exciting. You can hold each other accountable if you want to. So if you want like accountability partners, you can do that. You can also just observe and get inspired by other people.
Exactly.
And so on that note, we polled our community to see, you know, what they wanted to accomplish this year in 2021 from a sustainability goal perspective. So, I mean, there's a few that we love. I mean, Sam Cairns?
I guess.
Sam said that they wanted to reduce plastic waste and food waste, like we were just talking about. So, hey, exactly. Right there.
Yeah, one, actually talking about inspiration from Scouts, I remember one of our Scouts, Mary, VIP Scouts, you probably have heard her on the podcast in a few episodes ago. She said that she wanted, I think, either reduce her like paper product use or something like that, and she switched to unpapered towels or some other, you know, Swedish cloths or something like that. And that actually inspired me to start doing that. Again, I'm not 100% paper free, you know, in terms of like paper towels and stuff, but I have reduced it a lot. And that was like, I don't know why she inspired me, you know? So
yeah, that's awesome.
Another one, Caitlin Hall, she said, educate myself and others about ways to live a more sustainable lifestyle. So like, obviously this is what we are all about, right? This is why that community exists. So Caitlin, you're in the right place.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just exciting. Other folks, Kayla Sidlecki, she mentioned that she wants to shop from smaller businesses and stop relying on Amazon. I love that. I think it's a great idea. Obviously, a lot of us can't cut out Amazon for various reasons, but if you want to choose to shop from those smaller businesses, that's awesome. Are there any other ones you wanted to share, Lisa?
Yeah, so we've definitely have been talking a lot about, cutting down on fast fashion, right? And this is what Leslie from Washington actually states. She shared her resolution, cut out all of fast fashion. Another kind of fashion related from Courtney Wright, build a capsule wardrobe with a strong focus on buying pieces from sustainable Canadian brands, as I'm guessing Courtney is from Canada. That's just another example of some of the resolutions. And the cool thing, again, I'm always mentioning Brightly app. You can actually see all of the stuff. If you go to your Brightly app, you can set up your own personal goals or resolution, whatever you want to call it, in your profile. And when you're clicking on other people's profiles, you can see their goals, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. So I hope this episode was helpful, listeners. Again, we want to be really transparent with you guys, as we always are, and let you know that Lisa and I are not perfect. Lisa and I are still learning together about how to live more eco-friendly lives. And I think, thinking about the New Year's resolution concept and sort of turning it on its head for the purposes of living eco-friendly lifestyles is exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you guys have enjoyed this episode, please let us know. You always know where to see us on the Brightly app. It's in the Apple Store. It's on the Google Play Store. Email us at hello@brightly.eco. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, you can find us on TikTok and Instagram and other social channels.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.